at this time. Rise for the reading of God's Word. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Español, acá, un libro, un Biblia en español. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Okay, we are going through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's just such a wonderful thing to go through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Pastors can't cheat. They can't skip over stuff because it's like too hard to talk about, which is a good thing because you, me, we need the whole Word of God. Okay, verse 46 of Matthew chapter 12 says, while Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, which means look and pay attention, his mother and brothers, just speaking of his biological mother and brothers, stood outside seeking to speak with him. And then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he, Jesus, answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hands toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Let's pray. Father, the Word of God never ceases to surprise us. And Lord Jesus, you never cease to raise our eyebrows. When you're speaking, Lord, you did it for a purpose. You love us. This is a love letter to us. So often you need to get our attention. You do that well, Lord. But we also ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, for just a protected time today, that you would keep our minds stayed on you. Your word says, I will keep in perfect peace the mind who is stayed upon me. I pray for that, Lord. Lord, you know I need this word more than anybody in this room. I pray that you speak to me also, even as I'm speaking to others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. So here we are in Matthew 12, and things here, as we're closing out in Matthew 12, they could hardly be more intense, everything that is going on. Great multitudes are following Jesus. In the book of Matthew, it says there's so many, he can't even eat. He can't even take a break. Many are coming to him sick for healing with all kinds of maladies. We read earlier in verse 15, Jesus healed them all. Not some, it says all. Earlier in this chapter, a man came to him possessed by a demon, a man who couldn't see, a man we have every reason to believe couldn't hear either, and he couldn't talk. And Jesus cast out the demon and healed the man. Among the great multitudes of people, there are religious leaders. They don't like the attention Jesus is getting. They accuse him in verse 24 of casting out demons by the use of satanic powers. Other religious leaders, not satisfied with seeing the blind see, with seeing the lame walk, with seeing people who can't hear begin to hear, they're not satisfied, and they say, no, we want a sign from heaven. Apparently referring to, they want to see fire from heaven, like Elijah in the Old Testament. And so now, who shows up in the middle of all of this? His brothers, his family, probably his sisters too, his mother. Again, it says in verse 46, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. The book of Mark says they were also calling him, hey, Jesus, Jesus, brother Jesus, you need to come here. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, there's a couple of problems, big ones. Number one, in the book of John, we know at this time, says even his brothers did not believe in him. John 7:5. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. He was just an older brother who they grew up around, helping around the house and helping mom. Joseph, by the way, by this time, almost certainly has passed away, Mary's husband. But the problem doesn't stop there with Jesus' brothers and mom showing up. It also says this in the book of Mark. It says, when his own people heard about this, meaning there were just multitudes around him, people accusing him of being demon-possessed, it says they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. He's crazy. Our brother has gone crazy. And it says they went to lay hold of him. So in the midst of everything that is going on, thousands of people thronging around him, many of them sick, at least one of them possessed by a demon, religious authorities showing up, some accuse him of being a devil worshiper, others demanding a sign. His family shows up, and they try to lay hold of him. They think he's crazy. They're coming to take him away. And so the biological family thing. And some of you know exactly what this is talking about. Your family thinks you're crazy. Because you're now identifying with Jesus Christ and his people. They would like nothing better than to lay hold of you and pull you out. I mean, you're taking this too seriously. Come on. I tell you, there's something about biological family coming against you which just ratchets up the stress. And so imagine Jesus. Just multiple, it says great, mega in the Greek, mega multitudes thronging around him, people saying you're a devil worshiper, or hey, we don't really believe you still, we want another sign. And who shows up? His family, they want to pull him out of the things. And so, you know, one of the things I really like to do on Sunday mornings is that you just have to pause and see how amazing this guy is, Jesus Christ. I mean, who can withhold this kind of stress and not just go crazy, is your Lord. He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be adored. But he also is there to pray for you when you're in that same mess where your family's getting involved and trying to lay. I tell you, there's something about biological family which makes us go crazy. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For we do not have a high priest," referring to Jesus, "Jesus is your high priest, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet," everyone say it together, "without sin." So, let's keep reading. Verse 47 of Matthew 12 says, "Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But Jesus answered and said to the one who told him," he says, "'Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers.'" If he was here, if Jesus Christ was here in the flesh, he would be stretching out his hand going, "Here are my mother and my brother and sister." Verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, stay with me here. At the very same time, while this is going on, the book of Luke tells us this woman in the crowd just blurts this out. In Luke chapter 11, verse 27 says, "In this on or about this moment, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.' But Jesus said more than that, 'Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Is that awesome? That's just awesome. "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So last week was the men's retreat. Pastor Eric spoke to us from the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament about the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the offerings, the bull, a lamb, or another kind of animal. It was tied with cords on a bronze altar over fire, and all these offerings were fulfilled by Jesus, who was tied, nailed to the cross for your sins. And then there wasn't a flame there, it was something much worse. The wrath of God the Father because of your sins, the sins that you have done, the holiness of God, the wrath of God, rather than coming on you, went on to Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled all those offerings in the Old Testament. And then as we read through, after we read about the cross in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, which says that every believer in Jesus Christ, and that's you, are called to present your life as an offering. It says in Romans, this is the ERV, easy to read version. I like that version. "Offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him." H should be capitalized there, or you can capitalize it. "An offering that is only for God and pleasing to you." And so this is a sort of a reference to those who are Jews who know exactly what it's a reference to. It's a reference to Leviticus and the burnt offering and the other offerings that were put on that bronze altar. Jesus fulfilled them all, but now you and I, we're told to offer our lives as an offering to God. Now, in the Old Testament, Eric told us last week, the offerings, the bull or the lamb or whatever it was, were bound with cords to the altar. Do any of you remember what Pastor Eric said was the way to bind yourself to Jesus Christ? How's that happen? Wow! Who said that? Oh, Daniel, praise the Lord. You bind yourself to Jesus Christ. It's not with cords like the animals. You bind it yourself to Jesus Christ with these simple words. Your will and not my will. You're bound to him. And something happens at the same time. You're a brother to him. He says you're a mother. This is his words, not mine. He says you're a sister to him. The Bible says you're also a friend to him. So do we have those words, John? It's not my will, but your will be done. By the way, that's from Matthew 26, Jesus talking to the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. So here we are again a week later talking about what? The will of God. The will of God. Again, it says there in verse 50, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Okay. So, now one of you are going to be talking for the rest of the message today about the will of God. What is it? What is the will of God? Well, actually, we already read what it is. The will of God is what Jesus says to that woman who says, blessed is the woman whose womb bore you. And what did he say back to her? Those who hear the word of God and keep it, those are the ones who are blessed. What is it? What are you when you do the will of God? It says, the next one, John, it says, before that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So doing the will of God is those who hear the word of God and do it. That's what doing the will of God means. Okay. So I want to talk about a few things that have to do with where we've been with, and just to set up where we're going here. We're going to be talking about the will of God. But first I want to say this. It does say here in verse 50, it says, those who do the will of God are my brother and sister and mother. And some of you may think, well, that sounds really interesting. Some may be into that, being Jesus' mother, sister, and brother. That's not really who I am. I believe in Jesus and all that, but being his sister, his brother, doing the will of God, that's just not me. Well, guess what? There's no opt-out. There's no opt-out for a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, that means you have chosen to be a mother, brother, or sister. And it means you've chosen to do the will of God. Jesus says, those who do the will of God are my mother, brother, sister. Jesus says, and now if you're one of those people who are like, yeah, that sounds a little bit too radical to me. No, thank you, mother, brother, sister. Well, you need to do some serious business with the Lord, because Jesus said, and we already studied this in Matthew, he said in Matthew 7:21, the speaking of the judgment day, the Bible says it was appointed once to die and then comes a judgment. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The next thing I want to say is this. Don't miss what Jesus is saying here, to call it astounding and amazing is a great understatement. Again, he says in verse it says in verse 47, someone says to him, look, here's your mother and brothers. And he says, no, verse 50, my mother and brother and sister is the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, I don't know if you came in here thinking good about yourself today. I don't know what your self-esteem is. There's a lot of talk about self-esteem for the last 30 years or so. And kids, children, and people, they got to feel good about themselves, and you need to convince them that they should feel good about themselves. But listen, no Christian should have a self-esteem problem. You are a brother, a sister of the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're his brother. You're his sister. Not only that, he calls you what? Friend. Jesus calls you friend. John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants, but I have called you what? Friends. But I have to add this. It also says, actually, in the verse right before it, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you, meaning you are my friends if you do the will of God. You're my mother, rather, my mother, my sister, my brother, are those who do the will of my Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said, you know. I often hear Christians get up in front of a church or somewhere and they give a testimony, which is so beautiful and so true and sweet. They say, I'm closer to you guys than I ever have been to my biological family. Well, if that's you, you're in good company. Jesus said the same thing. He said the same thing here. I'm closer, I'm more family with you than those people who think I'm crazy and they're trying to lay hold of me. But let's dig deep now. Speaking a lot here about doing the will of my Father. And let me just begin by saying this. The subject of doing the will of God. If I don't tell you this first, you're going to feel just so condemned and crushed by the law that you're going to be crawling out of here. I want people like skipping out of here with joy. That's the truth, by the way. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is a house of rejoicing. That's what a church is supposed to be. Now, sometimes you need to cry before you laugh, but you're going to feel so condemned about what I have to share now, unless you have the Holy Spirit, because you can't do the will of God. Without the Holy Spirit, it is absolutely impossible to do the will of God without the Holy Spirit, which begs the question, how do I get the Holy Spirit? The Bible says just one way, Acts 2:38. First sermon ever given in the New Testament church, Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, you hear a message like this, or you read the Bible where they're saying something similar about who Jesus is. The Bible says that God didn't leave it up to your best guess to figure out who he was. He sent his Son to live for you. And he lived a perfect life, and he credits that perfection to your account when you believe in him. It says he died for you. That's good news, great news, because you deserve, I deserve, death and hell for living as if we're God, and we're not. The Bible says everyone has chosen to do the same thing Eve did in the Garden of Eden, I want to be like God. And then we act out. We act out as if we're God. The Bible says there's judgment, and the judgment is eternal, and it's hell. And Jesus died in our place and took hell for us on the cross, literally. But then it says, after 3 days, he rose from the dead. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, you believe that? He lived for you, died for you, and rose again? Just believing. No works, no good works. You can't do enough works ever in 20 lifetimes, 1,000 lifetimes in order to deserve this. Jesus did all the work for you by living, dying, and rising again for you. It says if you believe that, it says you receive the Holy Spirit who never leaves you. Ever. You may stumble and fall and sin or do whatever. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you cannot do the will of God. But what is the will of God? There's a lot of talk here about the will of God. Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What is the will of God? Well, we already said, we already gave the short answer to that. The will of God is hearing the word of God and keeping this. But what word of God am I supposed to do? What is the will of God? What is the word I'm supposed to do? How do I know what the will of God is? How do I know the word that I'm supposed to do? So here's a little short little outline of what is the will of God. What is the will of God? Number one, it is doing the word that God gives to you from the Bible, which many of you have in your hands. That's the will of God. And it is, number two, it's doing the word that God gives directly to your spirit, meaning the situation that you're in or whatever, it's not directly in, you know, it's not in the Bible. It doesn't say, where in the Bible does it say, I have two different job offers. What do I do? He'll talk directly to your spirit. Never let any preacher convince you that you're ever left when you have two choices. Well, sometimes God gives you the freedom to, Bible never says a word about that. Even though I hear the preacher say that, never gives a word. He speaks directly to your spirit. The will of God is doing the word that God gives to you from the Bible. And number two, it is doing the word that God gives directly to your spirit. So let's start with number one, the Bible. It's doing this. And you say, well, how much of it? Well, here you go. You ready? If you're doing the will of God, there's not a single thing in this Bible where you say, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, you know. If it's anything short of that, you're not doing the will of God. You're not a friend, you're not a brother, you're not a sister or a mother. Doing the will of God, you're never going to be perfect, ever. You're never going to, even for one day, even for 1 hour, be able to do everything in here. But you want to. You want to please the Lord. He's your God. He died for you. I asked the Lord, can you, like, there's like 20,000 things in the Bible. Can you, like, give me just a few examples? Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, be given to hospitality. Be hospitable. If you want to do the will of God, you have to be hospitable. What is that? That means taking people into your house. Are you crazy, man? Whoa, my house is my castle. I need my privacy. Well, dude, I guess you're not a brother. I guess you're not a sister. Well, how am I going to do that? I mean, I've never done that before. I'm really timid. I'm shy. You know, some people are into that. The Grands, they're having Christmas. I mean, not Thanksgiving. They may also have a Christmas dinner. They're inviting people for Thanksgiving. They're into that. It's not me. But the Bible says it's the will of God for you to be hospitable. And so what do I do? I mean, I'm terrified of that. Well, something else is at the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. You begin to pray saying, Lord, I don't want to do that, you know, but I want to do your will. I believe I'm supposed to do your will. Help me, Lord. Doing the will of God. Pray without ceasing. Well, that's crazy. I mean, I got to go to work. Listen, it doesn't happen overnight. As you grow in your over the years in your need for the Lord, believe me, you're going to be praying more and more and more. And hopefully, by the time the Lord takes us all away, we're praying without ceasing. Here's another one. Matthew. Last thing Jesus said before he's taken up to heaven, among the last things, go therefore and make disciples. What is making a disciple? It means getting someone into your life so that they're with you, so that you can model the life of Jesus Christ. I said, well, now wait a second. Isn't that Pastor Steve's job? Isn't that Pastor Eric's job? Well, I don't see my name there, excuse me. I don't see Eric's name there either. Listen, you may not like what I have to say now. This verse has your name on it. It's got every one of your names on it. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, it tells you to make a disciple. You're supposed to be getting, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 1 month or 40 years. You are supposed to be getting at least one person in your life, at least one, and making them a part of your life. Doesn't mean they're with you every day. Doesn't mean that they're with you every week. But I would say periodically you're bringing them into your life. You combine it with hospitality, bringing them into your home. Well, I disciple. I thought, thank God I have kids. Woo! Oh, you know, I can check off this religious checkbox. Parents, hear me out and get offended. That's a cop-out. It really is. It's a complete cop-out. Don't tell me that. Of course you're supposed to be discipling your kids. That's not what this verse is talking about. This is doing the will of God. Are you a brother? Are you a sister of Jesus Christ? I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, but I am telling you, this is the will of God for you to be pulling in at least one person into your life and discipling them. Let's do another one. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increases. Whoa, you're talking about money now. Come on. You just went out of bounds. Hey, you make the decision. Anyone who does the will of God, of my Father in heaven, is my mother, my brother, my sister. Next one. Here's the doozy. Here's the one that we all love. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Submit to that guy? The way he treats me? Die for that woman? The way she like nags at me and gets on my case? Hey, listen, I didn't make this stuff up. Jesus says, you want to be my brother, my mother, my sister? You need to do the will of God, and you need to, by faith, test the Lord to see what happens when you actually do. He will be faithful. And by the way, very important that I include with all of this, remember that woman who just blurts out, and by the way, I think it's beautiful. She just blurts out, blessed are the breasts that you nurse. I think it's fantastic. It's just like spontaneous worship. But what did Jesus respond to her? What did he say? Blessed are those who hear. Or actually he said, more blessed more blessed, I cut off the verse, more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let me tell you, you will be blessed doing the word, doing the will of God. You will be blessed. Okay, so again, John, you're doing such a great job. You always do. So there's two things. What is the will of God? Number one, it is doing the word that God gives you, gives to you from the Bible. And some of you are like, number two, oh, wow, I can't wait to hear this one. It is doing the word that God gives directly to your spirit. So let's talk about number two. From Genesis to Revelation, you will read, and I hope many of you will be joining me as we start off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 on January 1. We're going to read through the Bible next year. But from Genesis to Revelation, you see God talking directly to the spirit of his people. Now, there's like lots of teaching out there that says this doesn't happen anymore. I would just switch the channel or whatever it is when you hear someone like that. That all stopped after the Bible was completed. It's pure nonsense. In the book of Acts, it says specifically, God speaks directly to your spirit. By the way, it's not necessarily when you're doing the will of God. I mean, Elijah was running away from God for, what was it, like 80 days? Or some crazy thing like that? And God was speaking to him, the prodigal son in Luke 15. I mean, he was in full-on rebellion. God spoke to him directly to his spirit. What are you doing here? Get back. It's your father who loves you. And he's thinking, well, yeah, maybe he'll accept me as a servant, whatever. Well, sometimes we refuse to actually hear what he says. But God speaks directly to your spirit. So just an eensy, weensy, beensy few verses about this. In the book of Acts, by the way, is the book immediately after Jesus was taken to heaven. It explains the early church, what they did, and how we are supposed to model. And it says in Acts chapter 8, 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So there's no Bible somewhere that Philip was able to read. Oh, Philip, God's telling me. No, Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Next verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 19, it says, the Spirit said to Peter, behold, three men are seeking you. Next verse. Acts chapter 15, it seemed good. I believe this is Jesus' biological brother, James, who winds up smelling the coffee and getting saved himself. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things. And then I think we have one or two more. I think it's the last one. It says, chapter 20, Paul speaking to the elders in Ephesus. It says, the Holy Spirit, speaking to the elders, has made you leaders. God spoke directly into the spirit. He speaks directly into your spirit. Now, pause. A lot of people get really nervous with this subject because they've been in circles where people are saying, God told me this, God told me that, or the other, 2 months ago, God told me this, he changed his mind, he said, whoa, you've seen a lot of abuses. And listen, I think multiple times I've had to tell people, they're talking to me, well, God told me this. I tell them, God did not tell you that. I tell them that. Why? Because they're telling me something that's directly opposed to the word of God. That's one little example. You know, God told me to leave this. God told me to leave this man, even though he's my husband. No biblical support, which is only two for a divorce, which is just sexual immorality or an unbeliever leaving. But God told me. I sought the Lord. No, you did. You may have sought the Lord. You didn't hear from him. You may be hearing from the devil. But just because we have seen excesses in this area, please, let's not forsake this incredible privilege of hearing directly from the Lord. And some of you may say, well, okay, what does that look like? Can you give me a few examples of that? I gave you an example a couple weeks ago. It's 1 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I look out, and there's all these lights going on in my neighbor's house. You guys heard the story. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I have the solution to what they're going after now. And then I looked over there, and there's a balcony filled with college students. The Lord said, that's you, man. You have to go. You got to get right in the middle of those college students right now. And so I did. I know for certain that the Lord told me to go. He spoke directly to my spirit. So often, the Lord speaks directly to your spirit when it comes to someone else in the body of Christ. There's someone you know, the Lord's saying, you need to talk with this person about that. You need to talk with this person about that. No. I don't know if you're this kind of thing. This is my life, by the way. This is my life as a shepherd of God's sheep. But it's your life too. And many of the times it's just so hard. Stephanie and I knew a pastor and a wife where very, very sad marriage, bunch of kids. I got involved in a lot of the marriage counseling. Some years went by, the wife just decides to leave and file a divorce. And the Lord's like, hey, Steve, you got to tell her. You got to tell her what she's doing is wrong. And of course, we try to make every excuse in the world. But the Lord loves his people. He wants to glorify his name. Oftentimes he's doing that by directly speaking to your spirit. Do this, do that, say this, say that. I'll give you another example. Unfortunately, that ended in a divorce. Very tragic. If you think about it, just pray for this family where the kids are left without, who had grown up as pastors' kids are now seeing that in their life. I'll give you one which is not as quite as dramatic, but has a much better ending. So my wife, my beautiful wife, who's sitting in the back row back there, trying to hide behind that big post, but she's beautiful and she's very gifted. She took a course. I think this course was a whole year, ACBC, was that a whole year? Something like that. It was something like a whole year. It was close to it. And so she goes through all this course, being trained actually with books and stuff like that, but then also going and observing. And at the end, when it comes time for her to be certified, she submits her material to this organization and says, okay, I'm ready to be certified. And they responded by saying, okay, we need to see the doctrinal statement of your church. And so we took our doctrinal statement, which is doctrinal statement similar to many denominations. We sent it to them, and they got back to us, and they said, I'm sorry, we cannot accept you as a counselor in our organization because you have a different teaching regarding the Holy Spirit. And specifically, what they meant by that, and something I was very, very familiar at the time, because I started off in a church that believed this, that they believe that once you get the Holy Spirit at the time of your salvation, for the rest of your life, that's it. They do believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit, but what they don't believe, which the book of Acts very specifically teaches, is that after your initial deposit of the Holy Spirit, you have coming upon moments where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, that's a whole sermon for a different day, but they said, I'm sorry, we can't accept you. Okay, so speaking of the Holy Spirit, God told me, well, you need to write to them. You need to ask for a hearing. And so I wrote to them, and I said, listen, is there any way that we can talk about this? Can I speak to your supervisor? And so the supervisor wrote back to me, and this is what he said. My name is Sam Stevens, and I am Francine's supervisor, and I'm willing to hear from you directly on this. However, I also want to re-articulate, meaning repeat, that if your church holds a position that there are various coming upon moments of the Holy Spirit that serve as additional empowerments of believers, she will not be accepted into our program. That's what this said. And so, what did my flesh say? Anyone want to guess what my flesh said? No, I wasn't. I don't think I was that angry. But what's another guess? Forget it. Exactly. I'm not going to meet with this guy. What's the point? Does anyone want to guess what God told me? Did the Spirit direct? God told me directly to my spirit. Anyone want to guess? I need to talk with the guy. And what's the point? This is such a waste of time. I mean, I'm just going to get with this guy. He says so specifically. However, Steve, he writes my name. I just want to repeat that if your church holds that position of the Holy Spirit coming on the life of a believer after salvation, we cannot accept your wife into this program. So I wrote to him and I said, okay, I still would like to meet with you. And so I wrote, you know, I emailed him a couple other things. I had already emailed him what I felt like the Bible, what the Bible said. But what are we talking about? We're talking about doing the will of God. You would not believe how many verses in the Bible deal with you and me need to get along. And not only you and me, but Calvary Chapel and other churches from other denominations. We need to get along. That is what glorifies God. That's what brings the world into revival. The Bible says in John 17, 21 and 23, Jesus is speaking, if you guys are united, the world will see and believe that the Father sent the Son. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why is it that someone's going to look at two believers who get along and say, oh, you know, I think that God really sent a Son. I don't know, but Jesus said it. And I need to make every effort to be a man of peace. Romans chapter 12 says, as long as it depends upon you, you're supposed to be working for peace. So anyway, I wind up meeting with this guy. It's right around now. It's right before Thanksgiving. I see him on a Zoom call, and the guy's all happy. And he's like, yeah, you know, I've heard what you've had to say, and I tell you what, we're going to take this to our board. And 3 months later, the board reversed its position, and now we and other churches can participate as in this counseling program. But you see, when the Lord tells you to do something, you got to do it. And he will. He'll speak directly to your spirit. Now, I know some of you are asking. I know what some of you are asking. You're saying, but how do I know? Go to our website. I went through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which say, we've already quoted it today, says, in view of God's mercies, offer your lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. This is your reasonable service, meaning this is what every Christian does. Then verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, so that you may determine what God's perfect will is for your life. You can, over time, more and more, as you grow as a believer, you can tell, wow, God is, this is true. He actually speaks directly to my spirit. But those are two sermons, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you can go there. But the point is, I mean, what a blessedness being a brother, a sister, a mother, a friend of Jesus Christ, just being united to him. And how amazing is it? Can we have Luke 11 again? How amazing is it that the woman, she just in a place just of worship, just, I think it's just beautiful. I could, blessed is the womb that you came from. Blessed is the woman who bore you. And he said, listen, but I'm sorry, I cut it off. He says, more blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I am going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. And I'd like you all to stand up so we can worship him. So I mentioned before that doing the will of God is impossible if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Can we have Mark 1, John? This is Jesus speaking. This is his first sermon. These are the first public sermon that Jesus Christ ever gave. He said, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel means good news. What is the good news? That we don't have to suffer for eternity and have the wrath of God come on us because Jesus lived, died, and rose again for us. Repent and believe that, Jesus said. Believe who Jesus is and repent. What does repent mean? It means just wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, just turn around and go to Jesus. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, I want you to come up during this worship song. If you've been asked to pray, if you could come up. If you're a prayer couple and you've been asked to pray, it is a simple prayer of faith that causes us to go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Another place in the Bible, it says that, yeah, it's a simple prayer of faith that causes you to go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. And if you've never said that simple prayer, and that is, I repent. Jesus, I'm done with acting like I'm God. You're my God. Come into my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you love me. And I believe that if I ask you, you'll forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. Just come on up. It's a simple prayer of faith. Or if anything is stirred in your heart while we've been talking about doing the will of God, about binding yourself to Jesus by saying, okay, this is really, really, really hard. What's in front of me, Lord, doing your will. But your will and not mine. And you would just like one of us to pray for you. Come on up at this time. Father, I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for speaking to me. Lord, I thank you for speaking directly to my spirit. but what you wanted for me today and for the men, women, and children in this room. And I just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, continue your work in us as we worship, as we pray.